Still from time to time the heathen hosts swarmed overseas and harried what was left. And so there grew great tracts of wilderness, wherein the beast was ever more and more, but man was less and less, till Arthur came. For first Aurelius lived and fought and died, and after him King Uther fought and died, but either failed to make the kingdom one. And after these, King Arthur, for a space, and through the puissance of his Table Round, drew all their petty princedoms under him, their king and head, and made a realm and reigned. And thus the land of Cameliard was waste, thick with wet woods and many a beast therein, and none or few to scare or chase the beast, so that wild dog and wolf and boar and bear came night and day and rooted in the fields and wallowed in the gardens of the king. And ever and anon the wolf would steal the children and devour. But now and then her own brood, lost or dead, lent her fierce teat to human sucklings. And the children, housed in her foul den, there at their meat would growl, and mock their foster mother on 4 feet, till straightened they grew up to wolf-like men, worse than the wolves. And King Leodogran groaned for the Roman legions here again, and Caesar's eagle. Then his brother king, Urien, assailed him, last a heathen horde, reddening the sun with smoke and earth with blood, and on the spike that split the mother's heart, spitting the child, break on him, till, amazed, he knew not whither he should turn for aid. But, for he heard of Arthur newly crowned, though not without an uproar made by those who cried, "He is not Uther's son," the king sent to him, saying, "Arise and help us thou, for here between the man and beast we die." And Arthur yet had done no deed of arms, but heard the call and came. And Guinevere stood by the castle walls to watch him pass. But since he neither wore on helm or shield the golden symbol of his kinglihood, but rode a simple knight among his knights, and many of these in richer arms than he, she saw him not, or marked not, if she saw, one among many, though his face was bare. But Arthur, looking downward as he passed, felt the light of her eyes into his life smite on the sudden, yet rode on and pitched his tents beside the forest. Then he drave the heathen, after slew the beast, and felled the forest, letting in the sun, and made broad pathways for the hunter and the knight, and so returned. For while he lingered there, a doubt that ever smouldered in the hearts of those great lords and barons of his realm flashed forth and into war, for most of these, colleaguing with a score of petty kings, made head against him, crying, "Who is he that he should rule us? Who hath proven him King Uther's son? For lo, we look at him, and find nor face nor bearing, limbs nor voice, are like to those of Uther, whom we knew. This is the son of Gorlois, not the king. This is the son of Anton, not the king." And Arthur, passing thence to battle, felt travail, and throes and agonies of the life, desiring to be joined with Guinevere, and thinking as he rode, "Her father said that there between the man and beast they die. Shall I not lift her from this land of beasts up to my throne, and side by side with me?"